The topic today will be unleash the greater one within you. See, Lord, release in me the greater one. Release, Lord, and unleash in me the greater one. I want to show you a brief video clip from a movie called Troy. And I want us to focus here on the fact that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, I'm giving you some facts, okay? It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Amen. See, Lord, thank you, that you in me is greater than everything in this world. Y'all believe that? Oh, it's true. Receive that. Amen. It's called Release the Greater One Middle Screen. It's in Dropbox, okay? So I want us today, we're going to first watch this video clip and kind of set your mind in the right direction to see what God wants to do through you. You're the person that God wants to unleash and release the greater one. Amen? Watch the video clip.
The Trojans have never been conquered. Some say they can't be conquered.
Old King Priam thinks he's untouchable behind his high walls. He thinks the sun god will protect him. If Troy falls, I control the Aegean.
One last thing. We need Achilles and his Myrmidon.
He can't be controlled. He's as likely to fight us as the Trojans.
We need to control him. We need to unleash him.
Yes, he's a gifted killer, but he threatens everything I've built. Achilles is the past. A man loyal to no country.
How many battles have we won off the edge of his sword? This'll be the greatest war the world has ever seen. We need the greatest warrior.
We don't need to control him. We need to unleash him. Okay? And that's my message to you. That God wants to unleash you. Say, God wants to unleash me. Now, not to do destruction, but to do your purpose. Do all the things in your heart to do. Fulfill the dreams and desires and the things you want to do and sense you're supposed to do. That requires that the greater one within you would be unleashed or released. And that whatever small is in you, whatever in you that's defeatist and what is frustrated, that all that would fade and would rise up. You see, rise up Christ in you would rise up. So our text again said, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children. That's the best news. Say, I'm of God.
I am of God.
Yeah, I am of God. It says, and have overcome them because greater because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, we're going to start from that point because we're talking about realities and facts about who you are. Now, I want to, in this lesson, I want to encourage you in different ways because I know that God has given us so much in terms of a potential. That's where we use some time in our lives. But potential, we know, we say, is nothing without what? Action. So what God has put inside of you requires first that you recognize. Say, Father, help me.
Father, help me.
Recognize what you have put inside of me. We teach this all the time in this church. We talk to you about potential and purpose. I mean, a lot, because I know God is saying that to this generation. And there's a lot in you that God's put in you that he wants you to recognize and allow to rise up out of you to become a blessing to people around you. Because, listen, people of God, until we understand who we are in Christ and then tap into and access who we are in Christ, then we do not understand what we actually have. There is so much more for us when we can say, Lord, I am of God. I have what you said I have. We say it every Sunday. I can do what you said I can do. And all those words we use are words to reinforce what is already true on the inside of you. Okay? We don't say these things just to be saying words. We're not wasting any words. We are saying what we believe. And what you say comes to pass. Say, what I say, it comes to pass. And so that's how we operate in the faith that we have in Christ, that we hear it and we believe it and we say it and we act upon it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to also say this. Go to Philemon, the book of Philemon. And these scriptures are on the screen. And I want you to let me walk you through some scripture here. It says here in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Now, a man named Philemon has a whole letter written to him. Well, you know, one chapter of a whole letter, which is the whole thing he received. But notice he said that he said, I'm praying for you, Philemon. In fact, hear this. Put your name in here, because someone's praying for you. I pray for you in this way. Put your name in here. So I'm thanking God. I make mention of you in my prayers. But he said this in verse 6, that the sharing of your faith becomes effective. How? In this version it says, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Again, greater is he who is where?
In me.
So when you acknowledge every good thing in you that's in Jesus, he says your faith becomes effective. Or, as it were, you're unleashing the greater one when you understand these things. Because a lot of people struggle with who they are. Some have been beat down and have been lied to and have been disrespected and told things about yourself that's just not true. I mean, statistics float around. I always tell you this. Someone said, 4 out of every 10 African-American males are in jail or in trouble. 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. Which one of y'all is in jail or in trouble? None of us. Because I don't know where they get these stats from. In fact, I was in a class and I challenged that notion. Oh, really? Explain that. Who did you sample? Everybody in prison? You go to prison and make that poll? They're already there, you know. So don't believe the report. Believe the report of God. So I'll believe God's report. So he says here, your faith become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking to you about confidence in a moment, and arrogance is a big difference, but it's important to have confidence. You've got to have confidence. You can have confidence without arrogance. It's possible. Now, folk may misunderstand you, but that's their problem. As long as you're clear about what confidence is, your faith is in God. Your confidence is in what God gave you. Got to have that to get things done. Now, Philemon, verse 21, a little farther down. Again, a letter to Philemon, or I'll put your name on this, okay? Having confidence, verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you would do even more than what I say. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good that you can be entrusted to do something you're asked to do, and the person that actually do it knows you'll do more than you say? Isn't it not good to trust in somebody who does not listen, pay attention, and does not do, not just not do more, but don't even do what it said? So you want to be the person like Philemon who is so confident in what God gave him and has so much faith in God until Paul can have confidence in his obedience. That's good, isn't it? I mean, if you supervise people in your job, you need this, don't you? You need some folk. You can have some confidence in it. You know what I'm saying? I got some confidence in your obedience. Because really what losing a job is a loss of confidence. Ultimately, people lose confidence in people and they got to leave the job. Because I'm not confident anymore that you can, you've shown that you can, but you sometimes won't do your job. Now, he said here, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who are them? Who are them? Well, them is not them people in your mind right now. Them is not specific people you may think are hindering you. We have this notion where, you know, these people, whoever they are, they're holding me back. Well, the Bible said plainly, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Well, that's the them. It's all the forces. And these forces can operate through people, but it's not the person you're dealing with. It's what motivates people. It's the systems that they live within that have conditioned them to act a certain way. Now, in context, when John wrote this, in fact, the Barclay commentary brings this out, how that the Apostle John was very keen to contrast the concept of the world versus God, or the world's kingdom versus God's kingdom. And so John talked about the world, quote unquote, the world. Now, the world is defined, and the world's like the flesh. The flesh is not just the skin. The flesh in the world, it speaks of, listen to this, it is human nature apart from and in opposition to God. The world and the flesh nature, that part of us that's just silly and goofy and all that, it is the entire human nature apart from and in opposition to God. Now, I submit to you, if there is a greater one within you, if there's a giant within you, there's also a little guy within you, a little small guy. And that's the one whose nature is apart from and in opposition to God. How else can we explain not doing God's will? How can we explain not tithing, not serving? Because there's a little guy in us, in our mind, our unrenewed mind, our untrained soul. There's a part of us that just goes against God. That's why we are commanded, you know, to grow up and renew our minds, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because that little guy in you, you know, he won't let anything be unleashed. That's greater. So the them really is not other people, it's those forces in us. Greater is he, Jesus, in you than them, you and all the stuff you believe. Or I believe that's not in line with God's word. The philosophy I hold in my mind. We get a hold of little doctrine. We get a hold to, you know, we just get a hold of stuff sometimes. Just not true. So the them is, again, human nature apart from God and in opposition to him. So that's why he said there that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's your foundation. That's your true nature. So I am an overcomer. And he said again, because he, that's a capital H, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And it goes on to say, verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. See? So that little guy, I'll say, on the inside, is just kind of listening to the stuff in the world and not really listening to what God says and not taking the word in the way that we really ought to do. And so that's why to unleash the greater one within you, then let's just refocus ourselves, refocus on what we know is true, Refocus on Jesus, our Savior, on the Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us, on those friends and leaders in Christ who encourage us and even correct us. Let's get our focus in the right place. And Lord, help me. Refocus and place my focus where it belongs. Amen. He also says, Barclay comments on this verse, he says, that how can a man whose motivation is competition even begin to understand a man whose motivation is service? See, the thing is, what you do in your life, in ministry and career, you get paid for it, you do it well, but you don't do it to compete with people. Because, no, you do it, it's your purpose, it's your training, it's your job. But people in the world think you're trying to compete with them all the time. I understand, we do compete at a certain level, but I'm not thinking about you with what I'm doing in my life, in ministry, all things I do are not to compete with somebody. But my motivation is not to compete. My motivation is to serve. And so you can only serve people well if you give them the best you can do. People got a problem sometimes with your success. But that's their problem. You don't want to then make yourself small because you're working hard, doing a good job at something, and folk just don't like it. Understand, they're of the world. And their nature is they think you're trying to compete against them. Well, in their mind, you are. And you're winning, in a sense. But in your mind, I'm only doing my purpose. And I'm serving in this purpose. Whether it's ministry, whether it's business, I'm just serving. So that's why greater is he who is in me. Right? I'm not in competition. I'm in a class all by myself with Jesus and my purpose. My purpose, your purpose, is no competition to purpose. Now, I understand the business. I understand competition now in the business world. I can go there if I had to. I don't do it anymore. I can go straight there, okay? And just do all I can do. And just, you know, but that's not my motivation. That's the little guy in me. I'll show you. Look at this. I'll show you. The problem is, if you go that way, you'll find some folk better than you. You're all high and you're hitting a swole way out here. And, oh, yeah, I'm all that. You know, you run up on somebody better than you, then your head give you, oh, I'm nobody. Just don't play that game. Greater is he who is in you. There's your focus, isn't it? You're living in line with the greater one and your unique purpose. And the fact is, if you focus on that, you will have a competitive edge. Even though your focus isn't competitive, you're going to be better because your focus is going to do what you're supposed to do. And in fact, listen, y'all, if we stopped looking at people all the time and comparing ourselves and then all this here, that's a waste of your time. You could be getting better at what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Because we know this, greater is he who is in you. So whatever, everything you do is going to be great because he's helping you do it. And so wherever that takes you, whatever success it brings you, to God be the glory. Whatever people don't like about that, that's their problem. Say this, people's perception is not my reality. Now, let's go look at confidence. Now, I mentioned I would talk about that. You can have confidence without arrogance. Now, arrogance is having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. Behaving as if you are better than or more important than other people. That's arrogance. And arrogance is an ungodly attitude. Further, it isn't necessary. And even more so, arrogance actually undermines you. Because arrogance will keep you from realizing what you really need to actually become better. If a person just is arrogant and thinks they're better, but people in the same areas know they're not, that person then deceives himself, herself, and can never improve thinking I've already arrived. But the person who has confidence, again, confidence is belief in one's God-given ability. So again, we have faith in God, but confidence in what God has given us. So when you have confidence, you sound like what Paul said. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the statement of confidence, not of arrogance. Now, some people will perceive it as arrogance. If you say it, if people hear you say it, whatever, somebody somewhere is going to say you're arrogant. But that is a fiery dart from the devil trying to shut you down. Because small people want you to be small just like them. Right? But again, greater is he who is in you. You are of God, little children. Have overcome them. That whole thing of people just having a problem with you for doing what you do, that makes no sense to me. But that's what people do. But then arrogance, though, will undermine confidence, because arrogance isn't based on God's ability in you. It's based on what you think you can do. And again, you can do some things until you run up against somebody who does it better. So then self-righteousness and arrogance all go together, okay? And arrogance does not unleash the greater one. Arrogance cannot unleash, because, listen, the statement is, greater is he who is in you. That requires no arrogance. Arrogance will mess that up. Arrogance will ruin the truth that greater is he who is in me. Because arrogance says, no, greater is me in me. Greater is me, not greater is he. But arrogance sometimes jump up. You find it. Oh, you're ignorant and arrogant. I mean, I thought you were just ignorant. You're going to defend all this foolishness. And now you put arrogance on top of ignorance. You got to go now. You can't be transformed. You can't help a person who is going to be arrogant in their ignorance. Now, that's one example, but let's focus back on ourselves, okay? Is there anything in me? Am I ignorant on something and unwilling to learn and defending that ignorance and not reaching out for help? Because if I can say greater is he who is in me, then the part of me that's in the world is my problem. See, we have overcome them. Them isn't everybody. Them is sometimes me. So the promise is there. The provision is there. So we can have confidence without arrogance. You can be and should be supremely confident in what God has given you to do. Because that confidence is rooted in your knowledge that greater is Jesus in me. And every time he shows me an area where I can grow, where I can improve, where somebody come along and show me something that's better or a different way, I am very eager to embrace it. That's the right spirit, isn't it? Because confidence is not arrogance. Confidence stays open to help. It stays open to improvement. Now, let's go back here and finish up in Romans 7. And I want you to see this. Now, unleashing the greater one within you requires resolving your conflicts, inner conflicts. In fact, previous slide, please. Three perspectives to unleash the greater one within you. Back up one slide. Three perspectives. Number one, confidence in God. Number two, a strong sense of purpose. And number three, a made up mind. Say confidence in God,
confidence in God.
A strong sense of purpose,
and
a made up mind.
Amen.
All right. Keep that in mind. We're going to Romans 7 now. Because your deliverance is in your decision. Say my deliverance.
Is
in my decision.
In my decision.
All right, now Romans chapter 7, lengthy portion. I'll go through this as quick as I can. But this is it sounds confusing, but it's a very real statement of Paul's. Now, Paul wasn't actually in conflict. He was explaining his conflict. He had a conflict. He resolved it. He's telling us the conflict he had and how he resolved it. And this will help us here today. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law of Moses, that's the context, law of Moses, is spiritual, and I'm carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. And what I hate, that I do. That's conflict, right? Inner conflict. He says, verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, again, the law of Moses, that it is good. See, the law is what shows you how, it shows you your sin, okay? It makes you, reminds you of your sin. Verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Again, the old nature, the old flesh, the carnal, the worldly part, the small guy, okay? Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law, this law is a principle, not the law of Moses, a principle, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Now, here's the summation of this. Now, he wasn't currently in the conflict. He had been through it. And now he maybe is a young Christian explaining, we all been through this, where there are things I should do and not doing. Right? What I should not do, I'm doing. And that goes to the immaturity in the believer. Believers have this immaturity sometimes. And also says that the law of Moses, the rules of conduct that we really can't live by, we're trying to do, live the do's and don't do don'ts in our own strength. All we do is fail. We just fail trying to work things out on our own and be a law unto ourselves. So how did Paul resolve this? What was resolution? Verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. That's not law of Moses. That's a New Testament principle. That's the new birth, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, everything Jesus taught us. I delight in the law of God, according to the inner man. But I see another law or principle in my members, in my body, in my mind, warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind is I want to serve God, I want to do God's will, but in my body, in my environment, them, right? Overcome them, all the them representing yourself and the circumstances, he says, is warring against what you know you should do. Verse 24, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Now, he's going to give you the answer. Don't miss this now. Because, listen to me, your deliverance is in your decision. See, my deliverance is in my decision. Verse 25, here it is. I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with my mind, I myself will serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's not saying I'm going to keep on sinning in my flesh while I obey God in my mind. No, he's saying that when I obey God in my mind, I can shut down the principle of sin in my flesh. Because, see, your flesh will never stop wanting to sin. Your old self, your little guy, he won't stop wanting to do the wrong thing. And you don't stop that old nature and that old those old habits by just forcing yourself to stop. Because you don't have, listen, you cannot cure yourself. So you acknowledge the fact, okay, man, listen, y'all, I've been saved all these years. I always say this is kind of weird, but I'll just say it. I've been saved since 1978. and I could still roll a joint today. Give me some papers. I can roll a joint right now. That's kind of bad, but it's true. I know exactly how to do it. Muscle, whatever. That's a law of sin, and the flush. But I haven't drank, smoked, driving. I mean, that stuff is there. The ability is there. But my decision has been my deliverance since 1978. And other stuff since I got saved. Your decision is your deliverance. Say it. My decision is my deliverance. I'll say it the other way around. Say, my deliverance is in my decision. So Paul said, I thank God through Jesus that with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. I'm going to serve God. Because here, listen, as long as you front slide, you really can't backslide. How about that? You just find your own words, amen? I mean, you stop hanging out with people who got no sense. And you stop being bothered by people. He just said that. He said that. What are you talking to him for? Just make me upset. Make me mad. You keep talking to him. They keep making you mad. You need new friends. You need some new friends. You need some new friends. Friends you got, they broke. They negative. Come on, somebody. I had a covenant friend. He wouldn't even, you know, a covenant friend. We playing basketball. He didn't choose me for his team. We covenanted. Wants to choose me. And a car broke down at Keystone and Fall Creek, and he called me. And I pushed his car out of Keystone and Fall Creek. Covenant brother. But he can't choose me for his basketball team. So you just keep fooling yourself about things. You got to make decisions. Say, my deliverance is in my decision. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us, Lord, you have already called us. You've said that we are of you, little children, and have, past tense, overcome them. So why should we live like these facts are not facts for us? Why do we allow another state of existence when we have been shown, it's been said to us, you've said that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he was in you is greater than he was in the world. Lord, that's the state that we are in, and that's what we accept by faith. And then we have confidence in that state. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us here today, helping us all, Lord God, to walk in the truth and live in victory and understand your ways and Lord, become just better people, better believers, more faithful in every way. And we thank you, Lord God, and praise you. And we love you, Lord God, for reminding us of these principles. And maybe some have heard it for the first time. Either way, thank you for your word, Lord. For upon your word, you've caused me to hope, as the psalmist said. And hope does not disappoint. Thank you, Lord God. Bless you for the opportunity to receive your word today and rejoice in you today. In Jesus' name, every heart said,
amen.